Wonderful worship this morning, huh? Marvelous worship. And we continue in worship by looking to see what God has to say to us. And the best way to do that is to take some time and look at His Word. And we're going to do that. So if you take your Bible or your Bible app, you can turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to read the first 12 verses. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you His gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory. We thank God for this portion of His Word. Let's just start with a word of prayer, shall we? Help us, Heavenly Father, to have ears to hear what it is that You desire to say to us from Your Word this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is Mother's Day, and we celebrate all the moms and the women who have had a considerable influence in our lives. The Apostle Paul himself might not ever have been a parent. We aren't even certain that he was ever married. But he knew this, and it's very interesting, that raising a church was a lot like raising children. And I want to tell you, probably any pastor understands that too. Raising a church is a lot like raising a family. When I began ministry nearly 50 years ago now, a Mother's Day message was focused almost entirely on nurturing. It was thought that a man was responsible for providing for his family, and a woman was responsible for the nurturing of the family. Well, times have certainly changed. There's no question about that. Today, I'll tell you, my sons do a far better job of nurturing their children, our grandchildren, than I ever did as a dad. And my daughters provide as well or perhaps even better than I did as a dad. Today, I see that parents share the responsibilities of raising a family. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a marvelous thing. But this passage that we just read from 1 Thessalonians really likens, I want to suggest to you, spiritual leadership of a church to the roles of a parent. And we're looking forward to a new pastor at some point in time. And so it's important that we have an understanding of what we should expect in spiritual leadership. Not just of a pastor, but of a whole church leadership. Elders and all of those who are ministry leaders among us. What should we expect from them? How can they guide us and bring us to the place that God wants us to be as a church family? The Thessalonian church was perhaps the healthiest church in the whole of the New Testament. Doesn't mean that it was a perfect church. It wasn't. But it was a healthy church. We're told, if you look back in the first chapter, that their faith in God had become known everywhere. Imagine that. Imagine if our faith here at Crossroads was known throughout the land. Oh, that's the place where they really trust Jesus for everything they do, for everything they think and say, for how they conduct themselves. They trust Jesus. Well, this church in Thessalonica, it tells us here in chapter 1, verse 8, that their faith had become known everywhere. It tells us that they had turned from idols to serve the living God. They'd done the hard work of repentance and turning around and really looking to none other than the living God himself. They welcomed God's word with joy, we're told. Look at verse 6 in chapter 1. They were excited, prompted by the Spirit that indwelt them to receive God's word. And then they were worthy of praise in Paul's prayer. Paul thanked them for their work produced by faith, for their labor prompted by love, and for their endurance inspired by hope in Jesus. Do you see all of that about this church? Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was the kind of things that were said about us here at Crossroads? They, in fact, had become a model church. A model church. Parents, wouldn't it be great if our kids were model children? Huh? Yeah. Well, sometimes it happens, right? How did the Thessalonian church, how did it become the quality church that it was? Well, the next chapter that we just read from, chapter 2 in 1 Thessalonians, I think gives us the answer to that question by citing a number of biblical principles for spiritual leadership and their principles that can be applied and ought to be applied to parenting as well. So what does it take to raise a church or to raise a family? The first thing that I see in this chapter, the first principle that's here, is the principle of perseverance. Do you note it? The principle of perseverance. Paul starts out here in the second chapter and he says, you know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of what? Strong opposition. Well, what's behind that? If you go to Acts chapter 16 and chapter 17, you'll see what's behind it. In chapter 17 of Acts, we have the story of how the Thessalonian church was established. In chapter 16, we have the story of what happened to Paul in Philippi. And it wasn't pleasant. In Philippi, because Paul exorcised a demon from a slave girl, the owners had Paul and Silas stripped, beaten, and thrown into prison. And that all happened just before they went on to bring the gospel to Thessalonica. And once there in Thessalonica, they were facing persecution again. It seems that there was a mob of Jews who did not believe, and they said, these men who have turned the world upside down have come now to our city, and they're causing turmoil. So they insisted that Jason, where they were staying, one of their friends, see to it that they leave town immediately. Well, they didn't have long in Thessalonica, but even in the short while they were there, applying the principles that we see here in this passage, they raised a church that was a model church. And I think applying these biblical principles will help us as parents raise children that are a real credit, not just to you as parents, but more importantly, to the Lord, who has had opportunity to work in their lives. So you have the principle of perseverance. Do you know who Ellen Goodman is? A columnist for the Boston Globe? Not hardly, you know, your garden variety believer, but Ellen Goodman wrote an editorial on parenting that was in the Chicago Tribune. And this editorial was entitled, "Battling Our Culture is Parents' Task." Battling our culture is parents' task. I'm appreciative for Andy's prayer this morning. I found it very interesting how he prayed. This article was written in August 1993, so it's dated now. It's some while ago. But let me just read a few excerpts from that column that she wrote. She said, "Sooner or later, most Americans become card-carrying members of the counterculture. This is not an underground holdout of hippies. No beads are required. All you need is a child to join. At some point," she says, "between Lamaze and the PTA, it becomes clear that one of your major jobs as a parent is to counter the culture." Think about that. What the media delivers, you, the parent, are expected to rebut. The call for parental responsibility increases in direct proportion to the irresponsibility of the marketplace. Parents are expected to protect their children from an increasingly hostile environment. Are the kids being sold junk food? Is TV bad? Just say no. Are there wrong messages about sex, about drugs, about violence all around us? Counter the culture, she says. Mothers and fathers are expected to screen virtually every aspect of their children's lives. Ratings on movies, labels on food. Now, I added this because this is way back in 1993, but iPads, tablets, phones, and computers. They've all got to be inspected. They've all got to be superintended, all the while keeping in touch with everything that's going on at school. Said Barbara Defoe Whitehead, a research associate with the Institute for American Values, "A common complaint I heard from parents was their sense of being overwhelmed by the culture. Parents see themselves in a struggle for the hearts and the minds of their children. It isn't that they can't say no. It's that there's so much more to say no to. We once expected to raise children in accordance with the dominant culture. Today, we're expected to raise children in opposition to it." Now that's back in 1993. Let me tell you, it's changed. And I'm grieved to tell you, it's changed for the worse. But church leaders face the same circumstance. It's not that they can't say no to guard and guide the church family. But biblically, it's that there's more to say no to. Cohabitation, gender issues, rampant drug use, in spite of it all. Church leaders have got to teach and reinforce the gospel and biblical life principles. The second principle that we see here, after perseverance, is the principle that we know we're entrusted by God in this role. God has entrusted us to lead, to guide, to support, to raise those that are in our charge. And how important it is to have that certainty, that sense that, God, you gave me these children. Or in the case of a church leader, God, you brought me to this place to lead, to guide, to help, to support, to encourage. You know, this is probably way back before most of you were familiar with it, but there used to be something that was called the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Does anybody remember that? The Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. And every product that was on the market wanted to have the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval because it meant that this product was already tested and proven to be able to give you what you paid for. The Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Well, you know, when we're certain that God has entrusted us with the responsibilities of parenting or leading the church, we can endure as perhaps we'd not be able to without it. But we do want to have that understanding and that appreciation. And that involves us doing the right thing for our children, for our church. It necessitates that we are, if you see in the passage here, honest with them. Not using flattery to motivate them and get them to do something that you want them to do, but being honest with them. And there's no expectation at all of pleasing our charges more so than fulfilling our duties before God. That's an important element that is a responsibility that God has entrusted us with here. No expectation of pleasing our charges when in fact what we've got to be about is fulfilling our duties before God. As parents, if our greater desire is to please our children rather than train them in the truth, then it'll become so easy for us to slip into permissiveness. And that permissiveness will just simply leave them vulnerable and unprepared for the world that is all about them. God's approval must be our aim, not the whims of our children or even the whims of the church. We answer to Him, not the children, not the church. Parents, please don't try to be a friend of your child. Rather, be the one that God has placed in superintendence over them. It's much the same for church leaders. Too often we think of church leaders as servants among us, don't we? And they are, and they should be servants among us. But they need to understand and cannot fall into pleasing men. They need to understand that they are serving, really, God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, among you, more so than serving you. And you, as the church, are the benefactors of their service to the Lord. That's how we need to look at it. And only when we get that right are we deserving to be entrusted by God with our roles as a church leader or a parent. And then the next principle, the third principle here, is to be gentle like a mother. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't often think about the Apostle Paul as a gentle leader. I think of him as being strong. I think of him as being impassioned. I think of him as being determined. But here he says, we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. And the Greek word here suggests a nursing mother. So the picture is of someone giving of and from self for the benefit and the growth of another. A nursing mom. That's what Paul and Silas did. They gave gently of themselves to the Thessalonians, despite all of the turmoil that was about them, but they gave gently of themselves to the Thessalonians. There was no sense about them of authoritarianism. There was no manner of abuse or prominence or domination whatsoever. That just wasn't there. They gave gently of themselves to the Thessalonians. It wasn't rules that formed this church. It was relationship. And they delighted to share, it tells us here, not only the gospel, but their lives as well. That's how the message is passed along. I'm convinced it's not through our rules, but it's through our relationships, doing life together. That goes for church leaders and it goes for parents. This is true. As parents spend time with their kids, as they build their children's lives over the time that they're with them, sharing stories of their own heritage, participating in activities as a family, passing on traditions and long-held values. That, in fact, those kind of things, sharing life, building relationship with them, is what convinces them in the balance between what we as parents offer and what this culture that surrounds us offers. But sharing life in that manner and to that degree always requires sacrifice. Any worthy parent gives up a very large portion of his or her life for their children. Next biblical principle. The church leader, the parent, sets an example. Do you see it there in verses 9 and 10? My friends, lip service just doesn't showcase authenticity. Vulnerability. Allowing the church to see your genuine self encourages openness in the whole body. A good leader sets a good example of hard work in order not to cast doubt in the minds of the church members that he or she is taking advantage. Example strengthens trust. Now, Paul said to the Corinthians, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Imagine that. Can our leaders say the same? Follow me as I follow Christ. And likewise, no worthy parent will say, do as I say, not as I do. We just won't utter words like that to our kids. Do as I say, not as I do. Because we want our words and our lives to be consistent with one another. Example is so critical. Mark Twain said, "Few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example." Now, I can't tell you when this survey was taken, but it's telling and it's sorrowful. But the percentage of teens who say they want to be like their parents, 39%. So I ask parents, what is our example impressing upon our children with regard to our language, with regard to our manners, with regard to our values, with regard to our faith? Paul talks here about example and he gets specific. He says, look, we were holy, we were righteous, we were blameless. Do you see it there? Holy, righteous, and blameless. Holy meaning that we belong solely to God. We didn't sell out to others or to things that you find in this world. We cast ourselves in the hands of God. We were solely sold out, if you will, to God himself. We were holy. We were set apart. We were righteous. And what that basically means is this. We were right with God. We were right with God. And if you are right with God, I'm telling you right now, you are right with people. That doesn't mean that you're, you know, in perfect harmony with them necessarily, but if you are right with God, you are right with people. And then he says we were blameless. What does that mean? That means we have good reputation before others, and others can't fault us for wrongdoing. They might be able to, but no charge will stick on you. So this is what we're looking for in church leadership: those who are holy, those who are righteous, those who are blameless, those who will set that kind of an example for us. And that's what we want for parents as well. When parents and church leaders are aptly described this way, they're a reliable example and are more likely to raise a family that is a model family in many respects and in many ways, or more likely to raise a model church like the Thessalonica church. Finally, it says we need to motivate like a dad. Motivate like a dad. That's the final biblical principle here. You know, moms are more often focused on their children's security. Dads find themselves more often focused on their children's success. And parents and church leaders have a duty to motivate their charges through encouragement. There, do you see it in the passage? Through encouragement. A strong voice of affirmation. A hearty, "Well done, my child. Well done." Not unlike the Heavenly Father himself, who said to Jesus, "Well done. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased." Encouragement and comfort in the face of failure or hurt. Reassurance that there is hope. That just because you faltered, my child, just because we made a mistake as a church, we made a misstep, it doesn't mean that it's over. We as leaders have got to hold out hope. We've got to comfort. We've got to help the church to go on and see that God's plan will yet be fulfilled in and through us. And then urging, prompting without provocation, prompting to full potential now, not the leader's or the parent's dream for the church or the child, but prompting to that charge's full potential. Loving just as they are, but loving them too much to just leave them in that same place. Spurring them on to growth. Disciplining for the sake of correction and formation. That's motivating like a dad. So my friends, raising a church or raising a family, there are certainly some parallels that must, in fact, be applied when we see these biblical principles in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The principle of persevering, the principle of knowing that we are entrusted by God in these roles, the principle of being gentle like a mother, the principle of setting an example, and the principle of motivating like a dad. The goal in either situation, be it family or church, is to train lives to be worthy of God who calls us into his kingdom and glory. You see it there? It's right there in the passage. That's the goal. That's the goal of any parent. That's the goal of any church leader. You know, in the King James Version, Acts chapter 17 and verse 6 says, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come among us." Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people in Framingham were saying about the folks at Crossroads, about your children, these ones who have turned the world upside down have come among us. I dare to believe that's possible. if we'll follow these biblical principles. And you know and I know, there's never been a greater need for turning the world upside down for the sake of God's kingdom. Let's pray. Father, you entrust us in our roles, whether it be as a church leader or a parent. Help us to be worthy of that trust you give us by applying the biblical principles that you've shown us here in 1 Thessalonians. Help us, in fact, to persevere when it would be so easy just to cave. Help us to know for certain that you have entrusted us in these places of responsibility. Help us to be gentle, just like a mom, and to set an example, and to motivate like a dad. Oh, we pray, Lord, that our church, our children, would indeed be ones that will turn this present world upside down. We know it's possible, and we ask you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.